The Jewish calendar, Pali Machshava speak about, is like a circle. And we're Vesiyata Deshmaya right around the top. We're about to reach the culmination, the end of the year. And the end of the year, that culmination, I've always been intrigued, ends with the months of Shvat and Adar. So tonight, Bisiyata Deshmaya, I'd like to try to understand what that represents. In order to get to that understanding and our avoda about what Shvat and Adar is about, somebody pointed out something very interesting to me about the language of the psukim in regards to the makos. The Amshin of a Rebbe pointed out that these parshios are very much connected to the months of Shvat and Adar, and there is a deep connection between the two. One of the Talmidim pointed out that generally Paro asks Moshe Rabbeinu to daven in the language of Atira, like we have in regards to the tefillah of Yitzchak, Vayetar Yitzchak L'noichach Ishtoi. Here, Paro asks Moshe to daven with that lashon as well, to remove all the makos, and every single one of them he uses that lashon of Atira, except by Tzvardeya. By Tzvardeya, Paro asks, but Moshe doesn't daven that way. In Perek Ches, Pasuk Ches, Vayetze Moshe v'aram im Paroi, Vayitzak Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu cries out, the lashon tsa'aka. And the Talmud pointed out that there's something also unique about Tzvardeya that you don't have in the other makos. And that is that in this makkah, it's the one makkah in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings something, and the makkah doesn't disappear after Moshe Rabbeinu davens. The effects still remain. The Tzvardeya stay there, all dead. All the other makos, the effect of the makkah is entirely gone. Arov, Arbe, they're all gone. So the fellow asked, what is it about Sa'aka that the makkah is not removed entirely and all the other makkos are removed with Atira? So I was thinking the following yisod. And I think this yisod will begin to open up to us something that's really, really important, Derech Avoda. Yitzchak's tefillah, Vayetar Yitzchak L'noichach Ishtoi, Ki Akorahi, Yitzchak davens for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to turn something upside down. Something entirely upside down. By the way, that's also Beferish Maccabeet song. The Maccabeet song about lift your glass for Purim is they turned everything upside down. Keep that in mind. So Yitzchak davens upside to turn everything upside down. Akeres becomes an Ema Banim Smecha. And my sons added to me for me that that's a Beferish Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Samach Dalid Amid Aleph. The Gemara says Lama Nimshla Tfilosan Shel Tzadikin Ka'atar. Why is it referred to like a hoe or a shovel? Ma'atar ze ma'apech ha'tfuah mimakom l'makom, kach tfilosan shel tzadikin, ma'feches, the lashon v'nafoichu, turns over midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, turns the whole thing upside down. I thought maybe tza'aka is a different tefillah. Tza'aka is to scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop. Stop. And everything freezes. But Atira, the tefillah of Atira is one in which the mitzius becomes entirely opposite. Now the Rishonim are very much bothered that in last week's parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matitzak alai. According to the Ibn Ezra, Matitzak alai means, why is Klal Yisrael screaming? Why are they davening? And the Rabban asks, you're faulting Klal Yisrael for davening? What's pshat? How can you fault Klal Yisrael for davening? What type of criticism of that is Dabel Bnei Yisrael v'Yisrael Matitzak elai. So the Ramban suggests in the Ibn Ezra's position that the Omek HaDavar is that Sa'aka was not appropriate because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already promised that everything was going to be turned, in my words, upside down. There was going to be a Kiddush Hashem. Sa'aka was just asking that the Mitzrayim should go away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ma Titzaka Lai, I already promised thee, Kavda Befaro, the Ramban explains, that's going to be turned upside down. And how's it turned upside down? Uvnei Yisrael holchu bayabosha b'soich hayam. The power of a Jew is that he's able to turn a reality and live in an entirely different metzius. Even though it doesn't say that the land became dry. It was still yam, but Bnei Yisrael were bayabosha. When they were in the yam, they were bayabosha. You know, they say that the Panovich Rav lost his entire family. He once was visiting Rome, and he came into Rome. When he arrived in Rome, he asked his driver to take him to the Arch of Titus. And he went to the Arch of Titus, which has a depiction of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And he began to scream in Yiddish. It was a pouring night. He began to scream in Yiddish, Herzich tzu Titus HaRasha, listen Titus HaRasha. You tried to exile us, and the Germans killed my wife and my children, but I'm going to rebuild Torah. Klal Yisrael has the ability to b'divi b'nei Yisrael holchu b'ayabosha b'sochayam, to live l'mala me'ateva. The Panovich Rav was very, very creative. There was once a secular person who told him, I don't like how the yeshiva bachrim dress. He said, I'm not into the fellows having beards. So Panovich Rav said, fine. I guarantee that I'll build a school that the students will never ever have a beard. So the guy gave him a few $1,000,000 and he built the Beis Yaakov. This koach, to be able to be uvnei Yisrael holchu bayabosha b'sochayam, this particular koach is the koach, the Amshinav Rebbe Shlita, that was revealed by Rav Moshe Shapiro. I'm indebted to Rav Miller for sharing with me this piece from Rav Moshe Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shapiro said that this Yisod of the Amshinav Rebbe he loves to say over. I'm sure Rebbe Zatzal. That the Rebbe pointed out something fascinating. We're going to do a little bit of Hasidus tonight. Some beautiful, not too deep, beautiful Hasidus that will take us to beautiful places of Avoda. That the Amshinav Rebbe pointed out, when did the last Makkah take place? This you all know, you don't need Hasidus. When did the last Makkah take place? Makkas Bechoros, night of Pesach. He says if you do a calculation, every Makkah took a couple weeks to prepare, a couple weeks afterwards, which means every Makkah was essentially a month's time. So when did the Makkah of Choshech take place? The Makkah of Choshech took place in Adar. When did the Makkah of Arba take place? It took place in Shvat. What does it say in regards to Arba? The Pasuk says, V'ochal es kol ha'etz hatzoymeach min ha'sada. Arba destroyed the trees. Shvat is about the peros. The Zohar describes that every Makkah that Mitzrayim got, L'dorei Doros, was the time that we're supposed to be metaken that particular phenomenon. What happened in Adar? Choshech? What's a tikkun for Klal Yisrael in Adar? La Yehudim hoysa oira v'simcha v'sasim ikar. Adar is the bechina of Or. Let's first talk about Shvat. Let's talk about Shvat and understand what Shvat is about. The Chida describes that the 12 months correspond to the 12 Shvatim. Starting with the Degel Machne Yehuda, based on the way Klal Yisrael is encamped. So Shvat corresponds to what Shevet? Corresponds to Shevet Osher. What does the Torah tell us about Osher? Me Osher Shmeino Lachmoy, V'hu Yitain Madane Melech. The Avoida of Shvat, Rav Moshe Shapiro says, if you put together what the Amshinav Rebbe said, the Avoda of Shvat is the Avoda of the Tikkun of Klal Yisrael, that the Goyim don't know how to eat, and we know how to eat. By the way, it's a Beferisha Jackie Mason, La Maven Yavin. The Goyim don't know how to eat, and we know how to eat. What does that mean? Once upon a time, Klal Yisrael ate differently than Gentiles ate. Rebosa, here starts the Musar and here starts the Avoda. You know, last year, the guys, I'm doing tshuva. Last year, I screamed about this after Pesach. The guys came back and they described to me what goes on in hotels over Pesach. You know, the word foodie, a Jew to be a foodie, what, hayitache? The guys tell me that just in the hotels, it's just eating after eating after eating. But I realized, I complained about it afterwards, after they told me, after they come back. Shvat is the time for us to eat, to enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food, but to do it properly. There's a difference between appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food and worshiping His food. Shvat, the avoda, is an achila ru'uya. The avoda is to eat properly. Rabbi Victor Miller described, Rabbi Victor Miller Zatzal described, that if a Jew would just spend a little bit of time thinking about how an apple and an orange grows, spend a little bit of time thinking about what happens from a seed, that becomes part of Avodas Hashem. When a person eats a fruit, that becomes part of Avodas Hashem. And the bracha beforehand is an opportunity for a person to be mindful, for a person to be mindful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful world. My wife is a dietitian. She says the biggest challenge with eating today is people are not mindful when they eat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the system for us to be mindful once or twice a day. It's very hard, I know. I can't do it. Every time we eat, and every time we make a bracha, to really have kavana. But once, two, three times a day, to pause and to really, really think when we eat. So we're allowed to enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food, but not worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food. B'derech Musar, I'll be sharp. Rabosai, isn't it pathetic? You have people who are dreaming about the fancy restaurant that they're going to go to, and they spend so much time think about, dreaming about it, talking about it, partaking in it. And what does it look like? Pardon me, in a basement, I should speak like this, but it's important. What does it look like 5 hours later? This is a life? This is what people live for? This is what Jews live for? And that's why Mahadrin is a good thing. You know why Mahadrin is a good thing? Not because necessarily all the chumras, but the idea that we don't have to eat everything. That's what the Mesilas Yesharim describes. Chumros in achila is a way in which a person has gedarim for what he eats and what he doesn't. But how many of us who are in the chat, is this kosher, is this mahadrin, how many of us really, really think about that? Or how many of us it's really about? Whether we look from enough. Mahadrin is a way in which a person begins to hold back and not indulging in everything, even if it's kosher. So the hotels, the restaurants, we could live by a basha b'soch hayam. We have the opportunity to be b'soch hayam. We don't have to be critical. We could say that we're going to eat differently. We're going to experience differently. When I was sitting Shiva, someone told me a fascinating story about brachos, which really, really captures, I think, this idea. Rabbi Reuven Mendelitz told me that he once went to Rav Nissim Karel Zatzal, and he asked him, what bracha do you make on sushi? He went with a big rav from America. And the Rav from America described to Rav Nissim Karelitz, he hasn't gotten a good answer, and he needs an answer because his balabatim want to know what bracha to make on sushi. And they keep on asking him. So Rav Nissim Karelitz went back and forth and went back and forth. They realized it was hard to describe to him. There was no way to describe to the 90-year-old Rav in Bnei Brak what sushi is. So they decided, they sort of left off with a tzarachin. On the way out, they decide, you know what, the Rebbetzin, you know, cooks a little and so on. His Rebbetzin was still alive. They decide they're going to ask the Rebbetzin. So the Rebbetzin begins to ask them. And she says, well, from what I know from my husband would say it's a suffix and I think you should wash. So the Rav says, but Rebbetzin, these people are Mahadrin. And they want to know the appropriate bracha. They want to be Mahadrin. So Rebbetzin says, I don't understand. If the people want to be Mahadrin, the halacha is that you're supposed to wash. That's what the halacha says. But what happened? Brachos themselves, which were supposed to create mindfulness, what's become is everything now has become about convenience. And so now what we have is we have these glossy magazines with pages and pages. No pages of women. That's usur. It is usur. No pages of women. Women dressed inappropriately. That's usur. But pages and pages of these glossy pictures of food that have all the standards of kashrus? Rabosai, something's become distorted. And what's distorted is the avodah of shvat. What's distorted is a form of achila where a person is more mindful and they themselves, through their achila, think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so I'm doing tshuva from last year. I don't want to complain about it after Pesach. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it at the end of the year before Pesach, before we go to hotels with our family. Don't complain about it. If your family is going, so you're going. Abat, uvenei Yisrael, holchu by Abasha b'saychayam. It's mamish ayam, but you could be by Abasha. That's the koach that we're working on in Chodesh Shvat. Oh, what comes next, according to the Yisod of the Amshinav Rebbe? What is the last month? The moment in which a person begins to work on the Achila, then something even more dramatic happens. The month of Adar is the month of the Nafochu. The month of Adar is not only where we work on one thing that our achila should be more elevated. The month of Adar is we turn Choshech into Or. What happens on Purim? Purim is all backwards. Where do Jews, again, it's a Beferish Jackie Mason, where do Jews drink? Goyim drink. Jews eat, right? Where do Jews drink? The Gemara tells us, Nichnas Yayin Yotza Soid, that when we drink, the secrets come out. Rabbi Kiva Tat says so beautifully, Nichnas Yayin Yotza Soid, the secret of Klal Yisrael is that we could find Kedusha in the Choshech. We could turn Choshech into Or. We're surrounded by a billion Muslims. They're very religious in many ways. But there's one thing that for them is also that can never be sanctified. And that is wine. Wine, the world looks at as a vice. Wine, drinking, alcohol, beer, all of that is a vice. Yet we make Kiddush on it, we make Havdalah on it. We don't have Kiddush clubs. We make Kiddush on it, and we do Havdalah on it. And on Purim, we drink. We'll talk in Yirtzeh Hashem closer to Purim, the right way to drink. But on Purim, we drink. Nichnas Yayin Yotzeh Sod, after a whole year of Avodah, after Shvat, of a normal Achila, an Achila that we eat fruit properly, Achila that we eat sushi properly, then we're ready even to take that which is a vice in the world and to elevate it. Purim is about absolutely no Kedushas Hayom. There's no inherent sanctity of the day. We create the sanctity through the Achila and the Shtia. Torah could take that which is Choshech to the rest of the world and entirely transform it. There's another world religion that also wasn't able to transform something into service of God. The priests of Christianity, they have to be celibate. The sod of Klal Yisrael is that what the world thinks is only choshech, we're able to be mekadesh. Amelus b'Torah allows a person, there's a reason why I'm choosing Amelus b'Torah, I'll explain shortly. Amelus b'Torah teaches a person to use their passions in a way, all of their passions, in a way that's elevated to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, Purim therefore is such a challenge. The Tikkun HaZohar describes that Purim is more sanctified than Yom HaKippurim. But most people don't sanctify it, because this avoda, to take that which people perceive as choshech and to turn into ar, that's not pashut, that's not easy. But now we have understanding of the months, the way in which the months work. Shvat is the time in which a person begins that process of elevating achila. Adar is a time, and that's the process that we saw of Uvnei Yisrael Hochu Bayabasha B'Soch Hayom. And Adar is a time where mamish, everything, once one begins that, everything could become of an afochu. And Amelus B'Torah is a key to that. La Yehuda Moisa Oira Oira Zutaira, Amelus B'Torah becomes the most important piece. The Rambam writes something very, very, very striking in the end of Hilchos Isurei Bia. The Rambam describes that the only way that one could truly transform one's passions is through Amelus B'Torah. She'ein machsheves arayos miskaberes ela b'leiv panui min hachachma. The Yetzirah for arayos thrives when there's an absence, when there's an abyss of chachma. U'b'chachma hu oimer ayeles ahavim v'yales chen. And with chachma, then passion could be used in a healthy way. There's a fascinating Zohar. The Zohar in Parshas Toldos says, Il mole yetzer hara, chedvasa deshmaitza lo lahave. That if we didn't have a passion for arayos, then we wouldn't have a passion for Amelus B'Torah. So the or of Torah, the passion of Torah, the Amelus B'Torah, that is what transforms a person, that they're able to use both the Yayin and all of their passions in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the koach of Klal Yisrael, Vnei Yisrael Hochu Bayabashu B'Sochayam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya, that in this month we should begin to start thinking about our achila, again, to make every bracha b'kavana, at every moment to think like a Rav Avigdor Miller about food, that's something that's difficult. But a couple brachos a day, we could do that. And as we go in towards Adar, we're ready to transform everything. The world religions weren't able to take that choshech and transform it. And that was Makas Choshech in Mitzrayim. And in Mitzrayim, the month of Adar was the time of choshech. But for Klal Yisrael, the month of Adar is La Yehuda Moisa Oirav Simcha V'Sasam Vikar. For us to take Torah and to use it to elevate all parts of our existence. And that is the highest madriga. Down the line, we'll discuss. The Ramban says, Kol HaMekudesh Mechaver Mechur V'Yosim Menu. Most people don't do Purim right. Now is the time, as we going from Shvat into Adar, we could start preparing ourselves to be able to do Purim correctly. The second step after the Achila is what so many of the Talmud have been doing, and that is learning Bahasmada. And B'siyata D'shmaya, if you continue to learn Bahasmada, then Emir Tzashem, you're going to become fantastic husbands and fantastic fathers if one always continues.